Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Today, we have a special message from our lead pastor, Joel Trainer, titled, We're Built for This. And in it, he's going to share our church's game plan for navigating these unprecedented times. If you'd like to find out more about our church or give financially, visit threecreekschurch.com.
Three Creeks, what's up? My name is Joel. I get to be the pastor here. And welcome back to Three Creeks Online. Tiger Woods wears his Sunday red when it's a big Sunday. And I wear my Sunday blue. Man, when it's a big Sunday, when I'm excited about what God has for me to share with you, I wear blue. If you see me at Three Creeks Central and I'm wearing blue on a Sunday, man, you know that I'm more excited. I'm always excited, but I'm even more excited today. If you're a part of the Three Creeks family, you probably saw that we kind of pushed this message a lot in the last week or so because we want you to hear it. If you know someone that is a part of the Three Creeks family and maybe they're on the lake, maybe they're on vacation, maybe they're a little disengaged, this is the week that we want everybody back in. We share it, text somebody, do whatever it takes to get everybody back on the same page. This is a big Sunday. Let me just kind of start the message by asking you a question. How are you? And I mean that. Like, how are you doing? How would you answer that question? My guess is that over the last 5 or 6 months, you have answered that question a lot of different ways. You've been exhausted. You've been scared. You've been busy somehow. With less to do, we feel like we have more to do than ever. Relieved, thankful for more time with our families. Ticked off, mad, sad, something got canceled. The range of emotions that we have gone through, it's been tumultuous. I had to look up that word just to make sure that it fit. It has been tumultuous, okay? Up, down, around and around. You might be able to answer that question right now today, but you know that that might change tomorrow. It has been a roller coaster. I want to make a statement that I'm pretty confident is true. It's certainly true about me. I think it's true about you. Man, we are desiring some consistency. We are eager for some rhythms. We want some patterns. Just we have accepted the fact that things can't be how we want them to be. But we're to the point where we go, man, just tell me how they're going to be, and can they just be that way for a while? And so as your pastor in our church, I'm here to tell you today that yes, we can. I want to establish a new season of rhythms, of some consistency. And I hope that comes as a relief to you. We're going to be here for a little while. One of my favorite things about our church, maybe the healthiest thing about our church, is that our church, we have fully embraced the significance, the importance of community groups. We haven't built this whole thing on one weekly gathering on a Sunday morning. We've really put a lot of our energy and time into something that we call community groups. It's been our bread and butter. It's been the glue that's kind of held us together, that's helped us to grow. And if you're new to church, new to Three Creeks, community groups, really simple. It's a small group of people. We gather in homes. Typically, it's on a weeknight or maybe on a Sunday night. Eat together, pray together, laugh together, do life together, for lack of a better way to put it. But we do it in a smaller group. And we've been doing it since the beginning. We did community groups before we launched a Sunday morning service. It's been the play that we run. Many of you remember this big rock that almost fell off of a off of a bucket onto the floor in the Goshen Lane Elementary Gym. Community groups has always been what we do. And so I'm excited to share with you that starting on September 13th, the week of September 13th, we are relaunching community groups at Three Creeks Church. Man, our team has prayed. I've talked to a lot of pastors. I'm very confident in laying out this plan for us that we're going to relaunch our community groups. They're going to look a little different because typically we have, you know, a Sunday morning gathering and then community groups on a night of the week. We're going to kind of swoosh them together. We're going to have one meeting a week for you. You're going to go meet in a small group. You're going to watch church together. And then you're going to have a discussion right then and there afterwards. And while this might at first glance look like option B or C or Z for that matter, In my opinion, I'm just telling you, I think this might be the best, healthiest thing that has ever happened to us and our church. And I was just journaling and I was scribbling out reasons why I believe this could be the best, healthiest thing that's happened. And so I narrowed it down and I've come up with a top 10 list of 10 reasons why this is going to be great for us. Number one, we need to be together. Man, I went to one of those drive-by birthday party things the other day, you know, where you kind of parade your cards by and honk your horn and sing happy birthday out the window. And we had like a 15-minute window in the parking lot before the drive-by. We were kind of getting in line. And I started to see people from our church and everybody's like waving through the window like an astronaut, like, hello. You know, people are doing cartwheels in the parking lot. Our kids are getting out of the car going, wait, there's other humans our size? Like, it has been crazy. And we need to be together. And I just felt like that thing was a tease. It just made me want to be with people a little bit more. I was with somebody from our church the other day, a committed person, someone who loves God, loves our church. He looked at me, he said, Joel, I need a regular meeting and I need it more than ever. And I said, man, me too. He was honest. He goes, I'm struggling. It's hard to be consistent without the accountability. And I said, dude, me too. It's hard for me to stay engaged. I'm just saying we need to be together. The writer of Hebrews warned us that there were going to be groups of people that began meeting together and then stopped. And he wrote, he said, we cannot give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but we got to keep encouraging each other. And I want to live that scripture out. We've got to be together. We've got to figure out a way to do it. Community groups is that way. Number two, we can handle it. Y'all, we are young. We're a young, nimble church. And we can handle it. We have not been around long enough to be stuck in our ways. And I can't stand churches that are stuck in their ways. Churches that say, you know, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we do it. We haven't even been around long enough to say that to begin with. We haven't been around to do anything always. I never want to become that church. I remember right before we planted Three Creeks, I asked a trusted friend of mine, give me one word of advice in the beginning planting stage of a church. And he said to me, Joel, be willing to change and pastor your people so that they too will be willing to change. You and I both know of some churches that aren't willing to change. And you and I both know how well they're reaching people with the gospel. Not well. And so this is another example where we can be young, we can be nimble, we can change so that people can find and follow God. I think we can handle it. I think you can handle it. Number three, we have limited resources. We are a church plant and we are a young church. And that is not wrong. That is our reality. We don't have a church building. We rent a school. The schools aren't open. We have a smaller staff. We don't have thousands of people to serve in different capacities to pull off Sunday morning. And we just have limited resources. And again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying like that's just where we are in the life stage of our church. So I don't feel right about spending hundreds of dollars every single week to hire a professional cleaning company to come in before and after we want to gather inside of a building. I don't feel right about having 10 to 15 people come in early for hours, stay after church for hours, setting up and tearing down in a mobile setting for not that very many people to show up. And I'm going to tell you more about that in just a second. I don't feel right. Listen, if we tried to pull off, you know, big gathering right now, our small staff would spend all week trying to figure out how to keep you guys 6 feet apart from each other. We wouldn't be doing what we're called to do, leading and loving our church. Like, we're not good at social distance plan making. And then somebody would get sick and then we'd spend a whole week contact tracing, not leading our church. We just have limited resources. It's not bad. It's where we are. If we had a building and a big staff, and maybe you could convince me to try something, but with where we're at, it just doesn't make sense. I as your pastor, I just want to steward every minute, every dollar, every person the best I can. And having a big gathering right now, it just doesn't seem like that's the best way to use that. Number four, normal church would not feel normal at all. I have friends that have started gathering. It does not feel normal. They wish that they hadn't started. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are telling me, like, just wait. Let me paint the picture of what a normal gathering would look like if, this is all hypothetical, if Goshen Lane was willing to let us come there. You would come, you would pull in the parking lot, you'd get out, you'd wear a mask. We would usher you into the doors there by the shed. You would go inside and sit in a small pod of seats. You wouldn't really get to talk to anybody. No Three Creeks Kids, no Three Creeks Central, no coffee. You would either have your toddler and you would be wrestling him or her the whole time, or right next to you would be somebody wrestling their toddler. And you would sing into a mask, it would get all wet, and then you'd go home and feel like you have to wash it. I mean, and then we would usher you out the other doors and then right back to your car. It's like, I paint that picture and I go, that just is not what I'm going for. And the national average of people that are coming back to church is 20%. 20% of people are coming back. Church doesn't feel normal. And worst of all, it would be really hard for you to invite somebody to church right now. And I've said this from the beginning, and it remains true, that I did not come here to gather the Christians that really want to be in church on Sunday. I came here. We planted this church to reach people that are far from God. People that are unchurched or dechurched who don't know who Jesus is. And right now, for better or worse, it's just not a conducive environment to invite someone to church. It just isn't. And so normal church wouldn't feel normal, and we wouldn't be accomplishing our mission if we did normal church like we used to do right now. Number five, we want to love our neighbors. Listen, I have a pastor that I follow. I just think every time he says something, I think it's worth listening to. He's not always right, but I always love his perspective. He wrote something the other day. He said, I know pastors that are regathering right now because they love their neighbors. And I know pastors who are suspending regathering because they love their neighbors. I'm going to be gracious, believe the best about pastors, and trust that both of them want to love their neighbors. That is exactly how I feel. I'm not condemning or judging anyone for having a service. I think every pastor has to lead their church how they feel like God wants them to lead their church. I feel like our church, Three Creeks, in Gahanna, near Columbus, in Franklin County, I just feel like our best move right now is to suspend large indoor gatherings. Governor Mike DeWine literally wrote all the pastors in Columbus a letter last week, and he's urging us not to gather inside, and he's saying if you have to, just take every precaution. In the letter, he detailed that there was a study done in Japan that the virus is 19 times more likely to spread inside versus outside. That same day, I read an article that said, you know, a bunch of people went to a funeral at a church. They let their guard down, which we would do if we were together. 30 people got sick. 5 people got hospitalized. And I am the furthest thing from a public health expert. Please don't criticize me on my public policy as it relates to what we ought to do. But I'm just saying, as a pastor, I just feel like it just doesn't make sense for us to regather, because one way that we could love our neighbors today is by being a part of the solution and not taking a risk that could really make this thing bigger than it already is. Number six, this forces more of us to step up and lead. We're going to have more groups, which means we're going to have more leaders that are going to have even more responsibility, which to me, it's even more biblical. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. When Peter wrote that, he was not writing that letter to a group of pastors that were in the ministry. He was writing that to the church people. He's going, you guys have gifts. You're supposed to use them to serve one another. But in our American church model, let's be honest, a lot of gifts get snuffed out, and just a few gifts are often very elevated. Francis Chan, who is one of my favorite pastors, was pastoring a huge church in California called Cornerstone. And he was just wrestling with this idea, and he wrote a book about why he left his big church. In this book called Letters to the Church, he writes this: the Bible tells us that every member of the body has a gift necessary to the functioning of the church. When I looked at what went on at Cornerstone, I saw a few other people and me using our gifts, while thousands just came and sat in the sanctuary for an hour and a half and went home. And I see that, and I agree with that. And if I'm being honest with you, we never really set out to build a church that was, you know, around a pastor or a worship leader or whatever. But in America, it can be easy to accidentally slip into some of that, where some gifts like singing or teaching are really elevated and wow, those are really remarkable. Well, a lot of other gifts are just shut down and dormant. Like, we're stunting people's growth. This doesn't let us do that. We have to have a lot of people step up and use their gifts to lead and pastor in our church. And some of you, I just said that, and some of you had this thing in your stomach or your heart. You were like, I think he's talking to me. And I am. And I just want you to know that if you choose to lean into this and be a leader that God's called you to be, you're going to grow like a weed. You're going to grow like crazy in your relationship with God, because you are going to feel God working through you to pastor and serve people. I am fired up to watch that happen. Number 7, this redefines our metrics of success. When someone asks you in America, like, how's your church doing? What we basically are asking is, how big is your church? And pastors, you know, they look one level deeper sometimes. We go, well, how much money came in the offering? And while those things can be indicators of health, that does not define the success as a church. I was with someone last week, and he asked me point blank. He said, is it hard being a pastor in America? I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, because everybody here measures success differently than God does. Because we measure it in, like, how good was the pastor, or how good is the band, or how many people go. God doesn't measure it like that. God measures the success of a church. Are people finding me there? Are people following me there? Are disciples being made there? Are people loving and serving people there? And if I'm just being honest, listen, those kinds of things, they can't always be counted. They're not easily measured. Numbers, you can count them. Number of, you know, people in the seats, you can count that. You can't. One of the things that I have to remind myself of all the time is God counts things that can't be counted. And when I think about, you know, the health of our church this fall, I'm not going to be able to count things as much, because I'm not going to know what's going on all the time. And that comes as a tremendous relief that I'm not involved in all of the spiritual growth that's going on in our church. I love it. Number 8, we can still love Gehenna. Our values are not changing. One of our values is that we exist. We want to serve our city, man. We want to serve it in a way that if we left, our city would miss us. And I've said this before, I should say it again. I know that's going to take a decade, and that is the mission that we're on. To serve this city in a way that if we left, people would go, where do they go? Where do they go? So we just did Serve Gehenna Week. It was awesome. We're planning towards doing a 4th annual, which is crazy to say, 4th annual Gehenna Gift Shop. We're going to do it safely. We still want to serve those families. And I was talking with John Scott today. He's talking with some other pastors. He's talking with the school superintendent about somehow helping families that have, you know, they're homeschooling their kids because of all this online stuff. So tutoring. I don't know what it looks like yet, but I can promise you that you will have an opportunity to serve people in the city. It's what we do. It's what the church does. It's what we're supposed to do. And so we're going to keep doing that. That doesn't stop just because we're not gathering in a big group. Number 9, you can invite somebody to join you. I have always wondered, and I'm curious even what you think, is it easier to invite somebody to church on a Sunday morning, or would it be easier to invite somebody to community group, especially somebody who's just kind of unsure about God, religion, church? I don't know that I know the answer. Probably depends on who it is and their personality and maybe their experience with church. Typically, when we think about inviting someone to church, we think about a Sunday morning, right? We think about Easter or Christmas being like the easy invite where we give you the cards and you hand them out at work or whatever. But this is kind of a new thing we're going to try. You can invite someone to join you. Last week, I invited somebody, never been in a group. As far as I know, they've never been in a group at a church. I invited somebody to join ours, and they said yes. And I'm like, man, maybe this is going to work. This is a unique season. I'm not talking about sharing a video on Facebook. I'm just saying Who could you invite to your home, to your group, to come and find out more about how much God loves them? This is a new thing. It's a new invite. And God's going to change somebody's life through this. Number 10, and it's the title of this message, we're built for this. We are built for this. We've been running community groups from the beginning. If we tried to start it right now, it would not work. It just wouldn't work. The national average of people in a church that are in a group, 27%. At Three Creeks, it is and always has been above 80%. Most of you that are watching, you've been texting your group all summer. It's been a matter of time before we're going to run this play again. Now, there's some people, and you're going, man, I don't even know what a community group is, and I have never been in one. And I'm going to get to you in just a second. But to the people that have been in a group, we're built for this. We are built for this. There's 10 reasons. I've got more. I could share them, but I know that you're tired of listening to me, so I'm going to leave you with 10. But we're doing it, and we're starting them September 13. There's going to be groups that meet on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, groups that meet on the east side of town, all over the place, groups that are open, groups that are closed, groups that are small, maybe 8 people or less, groups that are a little bit bigger than that, maybe up to 20 people, groups that have Three Creeks kids. We're really doing it. We're going to invest spiritually in kids at these groups more than just babysitting. We're going to have groups that wear masks and groups that don't. Groups that have food, groups that don't. Groups that meet online and groups that meet in person. We just want to give you every opportunity to get into a group because we grow best in groups. Has it ever been more obvious that we grow best in groups? Listen, if you've been in a group, then the action step is simple. We just want you to text your group leader and just say, hey, are we having a group? Did we multiply? When are we meeting? What are we doing? Just text them, get in touch with your group leader. If you are new and if you've never been in a group before, here's the action step. Text community group one word to 97,000. Community group, one word to 97,000. It'll send you a link. You click it. It has all the information about all of our groups. And you got to just find one that works for you. There's so many options. We're going to have Three Creeks Kids as a part of our group. You're looking at the interim Three Creeks Kids director. And I just want to take this moment once again to shout out Erica Kambitz and just the program that she really built from the ground up. So proud of her. We're in the process of hiring a new kids director. I'm excited about that. But for the time being, you get this guy. So what we want to do is, listen, as a dad, I feel like I need my church to come alongside me in spiritually raising my kids. Like, I know that Morgan and I are the primary spiritual leaders for our children, but I need some backup singers, if you know what I mean. Like, I need the church to come in and reemphasize what I'm trying to teach my kids at home. And so as a dad, I just feel like, man, my kids need something. And so rather than just having every group just find babysitters, what we want to do is we want to, you know, have a mobile army, if you will, sent out one or two at a time to go to these homes, to volunteer your time and to spiritually invest in some kids. We've got some more time. We're not asking you to serve on a Sunday morning team, so we've got some more time. And I talk to people too who they want to serve in some way, shape, or form. I'm telling you, this is how you can do it. You do not have to have been on the Three Creeks Kids team. I'll accept anyone. Maybe not anyone, but I'll accept a lot of people. If you feel like, hey, once a month, I'll go to a group. The stuff will be there for you. You spend 15 minutes ahead of time preparing. You get there and you could spiritually invest in the lives of our kids. Man, that would be great. And so if you would email me at joel@threecreekschurch.com, I will get you all the information you need. I can tell you more about it. But I'm in the process of forming this army of Three Creeks Kids volunteers that will go out one or two at a time and serve our families in this way. Last thing, groups start in a couple weeks, September 13th. What are we doing between now and then? Well, we're going to keep the conversation going about racism in America. I had a chance to sit down with our Connections pastor, John Scott IV. Here's a clip of our conversation. It'll be available next week here at Three Creeks Church.
I hands down believe that this is an issue that's near and dear to the heart of God. And so, like, I believe as we break down, like, just sectors of the gospel and what the gospel is, I pray that it opens up the eyes of believers to see, like, yo, this is really an issue, a gospel issue, an issue that's near and dear to the heart of God. And if it's near and dear to his heart, as a follower of him, it has to be near and dear to mine. So I can't afford, whether I'm exhausted, I'm tired of the conversation, this isn't an issue I can sit on the sideline with as a believer.
So I hope you'll tune in and watch that whole thing next week. It's so good. And the good news is that the following week, on August 30th, my wife Morgan and John's wife Keandra sit down and have a very similar conversation, because we believe as a church that we're supposed to keep that conversation going. Three Creeks, I love you. I hope that the plan is clear. If you've been in a group before, talk to your leader. If you've never been in a group before, text community group, one word, to 97,000. They start in a couple weeks. It's the best, healthiest season our church has ever been in. See you soon.
Thanks for listening. We're built for this. We can do it. We're trusting God is in it, and we're excited to see what he will do through this new venture. To join a group or find out more about Three Creeks, visit 3creekschurch.com.